you can't avoid it at the moment. Jose Mourinho, as I say, has joined, returned to Chelsea. What does that mean for the Premier League? What does that mean for the managerial merry-go-round that's going to be taking place this summer? We've also heard that Roberto Martinez is taking on the Everton job. We're going to talk all about both those moves and the transfer moves going around the English Premier League right now, because we are joined by none other than one of my favourite journalists from the UK and one of our favourite guests to have on the show. He is Mr. Rory Smith from The Times, joining us here on World Football Daily. Rory, it's been a while since we had you on, mate. A good few months, I think it is now. How have you been? How was the end of your season? And how are you enjoying a bit of time off this summer?
Yeah, you'd think so. It's not quite worked out like that so far, but I'm sure it will at some point. Yeah, it's always a bit... You're a bit kind of dazed and confused as a football reporter after the end of the season. Everything seems a bit... It goes to this incredible crescendo and then there's nothing. And, well, I say nothing, but sometimes there's meant to be nothing, but then things happen like Jose Mourinho getting appointed to the Chelsea manager. But it never really stops. You feel as though you kind of deserve a break and you don't get one.
It's been almost hectic instantly from the moment that the football season finished. As soon as Wigan confirmed relegation, we were wondering where Martinez was going to go. As soon as we saw that Arsenal had got Champions League football again, we wondered how Wenger was going to rebuild on it. And now we've got this Chelsea story as well coming through with Mourinho. What does Mourinho's return to Stamford Bridge do, Rory, for Chelsea?
Well, I think for Chelsea, it brings unity. I think it's been sort of divided by what's happened over the last probably 2 years, to be honest, because there was the incident with Villas-Boas and I think Abramovich brought in Villas-Boas in an attempt to kind of revolutionise and revamp the squad, and it didn't work. And then there was, you know, the AVB sacking, Di Matteo came in, he was enormously popular with the fans, but to be honest, Abramovich never really liked him. He always saw him as an interim. Then obviously the Benito thing, so Rafa comes in, the fans hate him, the owner quite liked him, thought that he did a good job. Mourinho comes back and all of that is forgotten, all of the chaos of the last 2 years is forgotten. So for Chelsea, bizarrely, this incredibly divisive, polarising figure brings unity. And for the Premier League as a whole, which I think is a really interesting kind of angle, it was a great end to the season off the pitch, because you had all these incredible stories going on, Ferguson retiring, Chelsea winning the Europa League and getting rid of Benitez, obviously David Moyes going to United, and Scholes and Beckham retiring, all this stuff happening. But on the pitch, it was kind of boring, to be perfectly honest. United won the title in sort of February. Arsenal, there wasn't that last day twist that would have made it a memorable last day. Wigan were relegated with a week to go. It was all kind of done and dusted. What Mourinho's return guarantees that probably won't happen next season. It will be interesting just because Mourinho's around. Love him or hate him, you kind of have to watch him.
There's a couple of Chelsea fans that have messaged me over the last 24 hours and said that we're going to win the Premier League next year. We're going to get more silverware next season. Does Mourinho instantly turn this side around because of the way that he manages, or is he going to be able to do it, if he can do it, just by the air of confidence that he's put back into this Chelsea club again?
I think that's significant, the fact that he makes the players believe. He's got this aura, and he's worked hard at it, obviously, and it's come and it's been cultivated because he's won so often in so many places. But he has this aura that he will win, and players feed off that and they buzz off that, and it does have an impact, definitely. I think if Ferguson was still in charge of Manchester United, they would be favourites for the Premier League title. Because he's not, I think Mourinho's arrival probably makes Chelsea favourites, to be perfectly honest. But that comes with one huge caveat, and that's that we don't know how this side, which has been built by Roman Abramovich and Michael Emanuele as his technical director, to try and play similar football to Barcelona, how will that work in Mourinho's system, where he has six players defending and four players attacking, and that's a very defined split. Mourinho is Mourinho. He's not going to start playing beautiful football. And we assume from the fact that Abramovich has appointed him that Abramovich has accepted that, and that he knows that what he's going to get is a well-organised, very effective, impressive but not kind of attractive side, which is the football that Mourinho plays. The problem is, does Mourinho have the players to play that sort of football? Because I'm not certain that he does, particularly if he's going to get Eden Hazard, Oscar and Juan Mata into the team, none of whom would regularly feature in the Mourinho side, I wouldn't have thought.
Do you think, because we saw Mourinho and Abramovich have that falling out when Jose last left the club, Do you think that Abramovich will step away and let Mourinho shape this team and play the style of football that he knows can be successful, as opposed to trying to just please the chairman, who's apparently heavily involved in the signing and buying of players and even the tactics on the pitch?
It would be a turnaround if Abramovich was to say, right, I'm going to step aside and just let Mourinho do what he wants. It would. The question mark I have with the entire kind of story is I don't understand what it says about Abramovich, who has, ever since Mourinho left, in fact, before Mourinho left the first time, Abramovich, we all knew, wanted a more attractive team. That's why he bought players like Andriy Shevchenko. It's why he went to Scolari. It's why he went to Ancelotti. It's why he went to Villarreal. It's why he three times tried to get Pep Guardiola. It's why he signed players like Hazard and Oscar and Mata and David Luiz and Torres. He spent a fortune trying to get attractive football. And what the question mark I have, and it's not something I can answer, is does he now not care? Has that finished now? That Abramovich has accepted that he can't win and have attractive football. It's too difficult, and he's made a choice. And of those two things, it's better to win than to have attractive football. But if so, that's absolutely fine, and that makes sense. But if not, then surely this is just going to be kind of history repeating itself, that Mourinho will probably do quite well for 6 months, for a year, for 2 years, maybe for 3 years. But at some point, Abramovich will decide, this isn't pretty enough, I want it to be prettier, and he'll sack him. And that's my great fear, that I can't see, however well it goes, I can't see it ending nicely with Mourinho and Chelsea, because there's too many egos involved, there's too much history, there's too many agendas. It's impossible to think that in 4 years' time, Jose Mourinho and Roman Abramovich will shake hands, give each other a man hug, and go their separate ways. It doesn't work like that.
I can't imagine seeing that at all outside Stamford Bridge, that's for sure. We've seen, Rory, the first few names of targets that Mourinho wants to bring in. Does this show that he does want to step away? Do you think the names that we've seen him produce, Dzeko, Jovetic, De Rossi, Mangala and Fernandinho, is that an inclination that he does want to move away from the pretty tiki-taka footballer and go back to what we remember, you know, 1-2-0 wins and shutting up shop reasonably early as well?
I think it's very obvious Chelsea need another central defender, and I think Eliakim Mangala would be a superb signing. He got a lot of money. I think Dzeko and Jovetic is definite interest in whether either would really. I mean, Dzeko, I think, would be an intelligent signing. I'm not sure he'd be a frontline striker, but he'd certainly be an intelligent signing. Jovetic, I'm not quite sure where he would fit in, because he drops quite deep, Jovetic, and that space is more than well occupied at Chelsea. I think Fernandinho is a kind of energetic, very creative midfielder. I think we will see. Mourinho plays the same type of football. It's not fair to say that it's ugly. It's that it's more impressive than it is beautiful. So he will want a team that defends deep and in numbers and with extraordinary organisation, and then breaks forward very, very quickly and very, very effectively, and that can hurt you in a number of ways, whether that's from set pieces, from long balls, from a through ball, from crosses to the centre, whatever it is. Mourinho's teams are always very kind of multifarious with the way that they attack. But what they're not is ponderous in possession. They don't do the pretty horseshoe shapes that Barcelona do. They don't indulge players like Mata and Oscar and Hazard. They certainly don't indulge three of them at once, which I suspect might be a problem kind of going forward. I think if you look at the players that Mourinho is looking at, then he's signing to type, effectively. He's signing the sorts of players that fit into a Mourinho team. That makes sense, obviously. The question is, do the players that he already has at Chelsea, which of those fit into a Mourinho team?
It's going to be a very long season, off-season indeed, for Chelsea fans. Elsewhere in the Premier League, as David Moyes moves on to Manchester United, a new man fills his shoes at Everton. Roberto Martinez comes in, a man that was finally caught out with Wigan and their continuous battle against relegation. Should Everton fans be worried slightly that Martinez appeared at Wigan to want to play a more attractive football and was willing to sacrifice results on occasion to do that?
I think there's two schools of thoughts with Martinez, isn't there? There's one that says that he kind of defied the odds for a long time, won a cup, and then eventually gravity caught up with Wigan, and it was great that he survived playing the right way and playing attractive football. And the other school of thought says that he took over a side that were kind of lower mid-table and immediately made them battle relegation, and after 4 years he got caught out. I personally succumb to the first theory. I think he's a good manager, and I think almost in fact that what Everton kind of need is someone who can make them play attractive football. David Moyes' sides were good to watch, but they weren't great to watch. And Martinez, I think if he can, will help them play better football, and help them be more attractive, more expansive in their style. The risk is whether it will work or not. But then I suppose in that sense, Everton kind of has to take the risk. And you know, there is a chance. Yeah, maybe they will finish sort of 10th or 11th this season. It might not quite work out, and Martinez might not. He might not be able to retain that defensive solidity that was such a hallmark of Moyes' side. But at the same time, it might work so well that, you know, a little bit of flair thrown in with that obduracy and that sort of hard-to-beat streak, that might really sort of revolutionise Everton. It might help get more out of the players. We don't know. But I think the fact is that Everton has to take a risk, because there is no sort of second David Moyes. You can't try and just replace like for like, because the like for like basically doesn't exist.
We saw Martinez get offered jobs last summer and turn them down. The Liverpool and the Villa jobs stand out as the main ones, obviously. Is Everton a better fit for Martinez coming out of Wigan than those other two jobs were last summer?
Yeah, you wonder if Liverpool might have been a bit too much pressure, and whether there wasn't enough money basically to make it worth his while. I think Villa would have been a decent job, and I do wonder whether Martinez would look back and think that maybe he should have taken Villa and got out of Wigan while his luck had held. I'm sure the FA Cup will help sort of soothe his doubts. But yeah, I think Everton is the right step for him. He's earned his corner at Wigan. And he obviously deserves a bigger job than Wigan. He deserves to remain in the Premier League. I find it very surprising that people are so negative about it, given how much we seem to want there to be this kind of ladder of managers where you manager of a smaller club, and then you get given a chance at a bigger club, and then presumably the very biggest clubs give you a chance if you do well at the middle, you know, on the second stage. And Martinez is doing that. He might not be English, but he's an English manager in the sense that he's only ever managed in England. He's a product of our coaching courses and of our football culture. So I think it's good to see him getting that chance at Everton rather than, you know, as someone coming in from abroad. That would be disappointing, I think, for the managers of lower English clubs. So I'm a bit baffled as to why there is so much hostility towards Martinez. I think that people maybe feel he's kind of lionised unnecessarily. But you look at the football that Wigan played, you look at the resources that they had, and yes, you know, relegation was a real shame, and Martinez, I think, got caught out almost. But he's done really well for 4 years there. And he deserves a chance to prove he can do it kind of at a higher level. I think that it's a natural fit. It's a natural choice for Everton and for Martinez, to be honest.
And it will be very difficult for Martinez to move on from David Moyes and the legacy that he has at Everton. But you kind of think that if Moyes can impart that attractive football on Everton, there should be some smiles come the end of next season. Just finally, Rory, quickly before we let you go, there's a couple of stories coming out about Arsenal and their prospective kind of delvings into the transfer window. Potentially, though, Koscielny, we're hearing rumours, could be off on his way. There's interest from Bayern Munich. After such a strong defensive finish to the season from Arsenal, losing Koscielny could be a disaster at the beginning of this summer, could it not?
Yeah, the suggestion over here is that Bayern are willing to pay up to £18 million for Koscielny. That's the one part of Bayern's team that you think could probably be strengthened is the central defence. It's not. You know, Dante's okay, and Jerome Boateng's okay, and Daniel Van Boateng's fairly poor. But you know, that's the obvious area for Pep Guardiola to strengthen. Koscielny would be a great signing. He's finished the season very well, as you say. But it would be a major blow for Arsenal. He's really come on, Koscielny. He's kind of I think he's their best defender by some considerable distance. He looks like he's forming a partnership with Per Mertesacker that could be very effective. It would be a real blow. And the crucially as well, this was the summer Arsenal weren't going to lose any key players, and I think they can't afford to allow, you know, to end up needing another 3 or 4 months to rebuild come August and September. It would be another blow. It would mean another year of just treading water of battling Spurs for fourth place, effectively. But I think Arsenal will do all they can to keep hold of Koscielny this summer, just so they can start to build and to kick on next year.
And should Arsenal fans be worried that we've only seen Wenger looking at potential strikers and attacking players in this summer season so far? And once again, I mean, you talk about the pairing of Mertesacker and Koscielny, but still the depth in that defence is something that's still lacking in that Arsenal side. Shouldn't Wenger be immediately looking at defensive players anyway?
Yeah, you'd have thought so. I would have thought that they maybe the time has come to wean themselves off their reliance on Sebastian Schwalacci and Ignacio Miguel. I think that they do need it. I'd say that Tuchelny and Mertesacker are an impressive partnership. I think they have been much better than either Tuchelny and Vermaelen or Mertesacker and Vermaelen. But Arsenal still need a top quality, a real sort of front line centre half, as good as they can get. If they want to do things like try and challenge for the Champions League, I don't think you win the Champions League with a partnership for Laurent Tuchelny and for Mertesacker. I don't think you win the Premier League with that partnership. And I think that is the issue, that Wenger is so impressed by that partnership. There is a risk that he will not strengthen that area. And I think if that is the case, if he doesn't strengthen the central defence, then there is a limit to what Arsenal can achieve. That said, Tuchelny and Mertesacker as a pairing have made them look a lot more solid, and that's enough in the Premier League. I think that's more than enough in the Premier League. The question is whether that's good enough to get kind of beyond that into challenging for the title and challenging for the Champions League. And I personally don't think it is, and I find it surprising that Wenger doesn't seem to have kind of prioritised signing the central defender, because that seems to be such an area where Arsenal struggle.
I wonder if there's still maybe just a thought in Wenger's head about a potential move to PSG in maybe 12 months' time or so. Rory, it's an absolute pleasure to have you back on the show, mate, and we always enjoy chatting a bit of English football with you. We hope you get some time off this summer, because you guys work so hard and don't really get a Christmas break in the season, mate, and we look forward to catching up with you later on, just before the start of the season, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Rory Smith from The Times joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things English football. And the transfer market continues to throw around the thrills and spills of football. And you just look at Arsenal, as we've said so many times, that it was nice that they brought in Monreal and they tried to bring in Andre Santos and they brought in Mertesacker, who's done okay. But, he wasn't that standout centre-back I think that Arsenal fans were hoping to see.